ARK Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure video game set in a lethal yet vibrant future Earth. Play as a raider, where you will settle into a fractured underground settlement, hoping to build a new home and legacy for yourself. In order to thrive, you must return to the surface, where lethal ARK machines roam unchecked and the motives of other raiders are dangerously unclear. But if you are fearless enough, who knows what you might find? Pre-order now for PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and PC. Available on October 30, rated T for Teen.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why fans. It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, folks. We're going to have a great show tomorrow. So we're going to have our first debate, and it'll be for the New Orleans City Council District A race that is held on Saturday, November the 15th. Early voting starts November 1st, and it goes through November 8th, with the exception of that Sunday, November 2nd. The polls are closed. The candidates, Holly Friedman, who finished with about 38% of the vote, and Amy McCarron, who finished with 32% of the vote. They both worked for Councilman Joe Geruso, who I have a ton of respect for, and he comes on the show all the time and never says no, and we appreciate that. So we'll have our first debate tomorrow at noon. And then tomorrow also at 11, we're going to have one of my favorite segments, and that's because of Breast Cancer Awareness Month, Dr. Alfred John Colfrey III. He's a breast surgical oncologist at LCMC Health, and Dr. Ellen Zachris, radiation oncologist at LCMC Health as well. I've had them on the show every year for a number of years, always enjoy the new information that they bring, and they're able to put so many ladies and men, at ease about what they're facing with some of the latest information and experiences that they've had in dealing with breast cancer. I was really surprised to hear the other day, and I said this on the show a couple of times, that it's either 7 in 10 or 8 in 10 women have breast cancer in this country. Obviously a big medical challenge. And so we have this show every year, and we look forward to it. We are finalizing some other dates for debate on the District E race. Unfortunately, we've kind of, we're trying to work around the state representative Jason Hughes and his schedule, because he's been called into a special session, I think, tomorrow, if my memory serves me correct, for a 2-week period of time. We're trying to coordinate to get both Sidney Nguyen and Jason in the studio at the same time. And we're doing the same relative to the clerk's office. Mr. Lombard's already agreed. His opponent is reluctant and has articulated that he's not willing to debate Mr. Lombard, which not sure why that is. But we're going to move forward with a debate, and whether or not he shows up or not is on him. So I don't understand candidates that put themselves out there and they're not willing to debate their opponents. I mean, I don't know what they fear, right? This is going to be an issues-oriented campaign. This is going to be one, type of debate. It's going to be in issues. It's going to be about, experience and things of that nature. Dave Cohen and myself, WWL news director. And, you know, I kind of like having that mix of having a news guy and an opinion show guy conducting these interviews that we did in the first primary and these debates in the second primary. So we look forward to that next week. Now, I have received, 50, 60, 70, maybe 80 texts and comments about the situation with the White House and the Trump administration and Donald Trump and what he's doing with the 90,000 square foot addition as it relates to a ballroom. So I was last night, stayed up late, just doing research, went to architecturaldigest.com. For those of you that are interested, the original article was posted on August 30th of 2017. It was updated on August 5th of 2025. Relative to a timeline of White House renovations through the years. So let's talk about that, right? So the first White House was built in 1789 to 1800, and in 1814 it burned down and it was rebuilt at that point in time. There was a classical renovation, as they call it, courtesy of President Roosevelt in 1902. And two decades later, Theodore Roosevelt enlisted an architectural firm to oversee a much needed expansion of the presidential home. So it was change, and it included the addition of the West Wing. This design team kind of lean to a classical type of architecture as opposed to Victorian. And Roosevelt's remodel transformed the home from this is their words, a crazy quilt of alterations over time into a cohesive statement of modern times. And this was in 1932, if my memory serves me correct. In 1942, under FDR, the East Wing would be added with the primary mission of concealing. So this is the East Wing. First the West Wing, then the East Wing was added with the primary mission of concealing an underground bunker, now known as the Presidential Emergency Operations Center. And since then, in 1942, the East Wing has generally served as office space for the First Lady and her staff. Generally served, not always, right? So then Truman comes in, and Truman and architects said that it became clear that the White House was in need of serious structural rehab. So early in 1948, in response to President Truman's concerns, engineers confirmed that the White House was structurally weak and in danger of collapse. Some said the White House was standing only from the force of habit. The White House Historical Association, this is what they provided on their website, and it was evident that a total reconstruction of the interior was necessary, and over a four-year effort, the interior was dismantled and meticulously put back together. Notably, this would displace the president and his family, and they lived in Blair House until 1952. The White House that we know today is largely due to the renovation by Truman. So those that are talking about how this structure, you know, hasn't been changed in 200 years, 100 years, I've heard all kinds of different representations. It's just simply not true. Kennedy gets elected, and First Lady Jacqueline Kennedy gives the CBS News correspondent a tour of the newly redecorated White House in January of 1962. And the Kennedys went about saving its historical integrity. and they hired some folks to redecorate the White House with historic art and artifacts sourced from museum collections and prominent American families, much of which was placed on loan to the presidential administration. And her goal was to use the residence to showcase American presidential history. And everything in the White House must have a reason for being there. It was a sacrilege merely to redecorate it. It would be sacrilege to say that they were just redecorating it. It really was going about being restored, and the public was treated to that tour. It continued on through the Carter administration. That's the first time that computers hit the White House, and they started running cables all through the White House. And then, according to Architectural Digest, when the Obama family came in, they called it the audacity of taupe as paint colors. The Obama redesign of the Oval Office, which was seen by designer Michael Smith, included a mix of historic and contemporary design elements. The redesign received mixed reviews, with some critics deeming the space to be too understated. So those of you that are criticizing Donald Trump for redecorating the Oval Office, it's typically done with every administration, right? So then Donald Trump comes in and he declares that the White House is a dump. These words were refuted by many. And Donald Trump, in his first term, left Pennsylvania Avenue for a 17-day working vacation while a $3.4 million overhaul was done to the HVAC system, IT systems, as well as the Oval Office. The West Wing lobby and the South Portico steps were actually completed. In the former, the renovation included new furniture, wallpaper, and carpeting, as well as gold-hued upholstery. And then they went about with the redesign of the Rose Garden. And according to the New York Times, Trump wanted to make the area resemble a patio, which was more closely to his taste. And he designed one very similar to one that exists at Mar-a-Lago. And he began to talk about this update to the White House relative to a $200 to $250 million, 90,000 square foot ballroom. And Trump tapped classicist architect James McCreary II to create the new ballroom at the site of the current East Wing. The ornate Gilded Age design of this addition will expand seating capacity to 650 guests and rendering show coffered ceilings, Corinthian columns, chandeliers, and a myriad of gold leaf details, which is a decorating style that is preferred by Donald Trump. This construction began the other day to the East Wing. So it's just kind of very interesting. People have been making all of these comments. They are, as of right now, according to the Trump administration, no public dollars will be used. They raised private dollars for this, and the balance of which is to be paid by Donald Trump himself. And in fact, some of the other renovations to the White House, he actually paid for himself. He didn't hit the public dole. There have been those that have been critical of the process of not going through the Historical Society or Congress relative to the modifications to the White House. But in those cases, you had to and were compelled to justify the public spend and be able to articulate the necessity to do so in order to get the appropriated dollars to complete the project. Well, that's not the case here. There are no public dollars being used. This is being done privately. So there is a good reason as to why the protocols have not been utilized here, because it wasn't about trying to justify the necessity for the modifications being made in the White House. Now, let's be honest, right? For the most part, no president has been told no. when Nixon put in a swimming pool, I mean, a bowling alley, when FDR had a, or Kennedy had a pool or whatever, whoever put the pool in, there's a basketball court by President Obama. There's been all kinds of things that have been done to the White House. So let's just take a moment and step off of this Trump derangement syndrome train as it relates to this White House. And interestingly, I went to an NPR interview of a historian. And what he talked about was that the fact that almost every president complained of the fact that there was not a space large enough in the White House to host some of the galas, the visiting dignitaries that come, visiting officials from other countries, and that in many instances, the people that attend were spread out throughout the public areas of the White House. It was very difficult to manage. It was very difficult to pull it off. And in many cases, they had to go through the expense of bringing in tents and cooking operations in order to be able to handle the number of people that were there. Times change. Security issues are a lot different today than they were in the time of Truman or Eisenhower or FDR or others. So the necessity to be able to host these things, and it makes it a lot easier to do so by having it right there at the White House as opposed to going to an offsite location. And I know that I could string up a whole line of Secret Service agents to come on this show and articulate that very proposition. I know because I've had these conversations with present and former Secret Service folks. So the reality is you know, there was a desire for this expressed by a number of presidents. And, you know, this president decided to undertake this. The real irony is that if he gets to utilize it for a year out of his administration, that might be a lot. Right? He doesn't have the benefit of running for re-election. So really, the largesse of his generosity in spending his own money to do this, his time in undertaking this project, is really going to inure to whoever the next president is, and the president after that, and the president after that. It's been interesting to hear what everybody's talking about relative to this issue. And the only reason I'm talking about, I wasn't going to talk about this, but man, I'm getting text after text after text. People, what about the $250 million? What about the $200 million? It's not public money. Do your research. It's not public money. So, and you know, and you have the other side that's talking about all of this because they're trying to deflect. They don't want you looking at other stuff. They'd rather you focus on, a piece of equipment there, tearing down the outside walls of the East Wing in order to make the connection and preparation of running what I would suspect is going to be electrical wiring, plumbing, this, that, and a whole bunch of other things that need to be done in preparation for the building of this 90,000 square foot addition. Let's go to James on line one. James, what say you?
Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
How you doing, Noah? How you doing, brother?
Good.
I was calling to ask you, did I hear you? It sounds like you be defending Trump. Like, do you feel like he a good person?
I'm not defending Trump as a person. I'm defending Trump's decision to build the ballroom, and I'm just trying to correct what people are saying about this, complaining about this $200+ million public spend on this, which is not the case, and the fact that there is significance to many presidents complaining about not having a facility large enough to host the events that they host at the White House, plain and simple.
Right, but do you think he's a good person, like a good human being?
Sometimes.
Sometimes. Well, you know about the money he's giving Argentina? He's supposed to be giving them $20 billion? You know about that?
Oh, absolutely.
And he said he might give them 40.
Absolutely.
So
I think there's a I'm not exactly good with that, but I understand that there's a strategic perspective as it relates to Argentina's desire to align with us as opposed to China. And so there's some strategic implications of this alignment with Argentina.
So is that important now? So, like, our farmers, I mean, because of his terror, they can't make no sense. Like, you know,
I said I was not totally sure of that. I'm just telling you what the administration is saying. I do believe there is, but whether or not it's worth that amount of money, I don't know.
Man, that's a lot of money. And he's just like, don't nobody really tell him that. To me, he's not a good person, first of all. He's not a good human being just from his past or whatever. But the way he's running things and how he's got people in his own corner don't want to tell him nothing. Like, everybody's scared of this man. Like, I don't understand why. Like, I really don't get it. Like, he's a convicted felon. He's really doing things like nobody else would get away with. Like, what is it about him that people are scared of? That's what I'm trying to figure out. Like, I'm hoping you're human. I'm hoping you're no alien or nothing, but it seems like everybody's scared of this man. And I don't understand.
Well, it's not too terribly different than any other president. I mean, think about what President Biden was able to get people to do. You know,
yeah.
I mean, he got intelligence officials to try and sell, a notion that this was Russian collusion and a Russia hoax with the laptop. He knew better than that. He stood at the podium and said he would not pardon his son. He basically lied to the public. You think that's a good person to lie to you and say, I'm not going to pardon my son, and then turn around and pardon his son?
Yeah, I mean, that's a son, though. But
look, all of these presidents are flawed individuals like you, me, and everybody else. Now, we can choose to focus on those flaws, and I think that's a driving force of what Trump derangement syndrome's all about. People don't like the way that he executes things. They don't like the way that he speaks. And so they just are hell-bent on focusing on the flaw as opposed to some of the policies, the breadth and depth of the policies, and what he's been able to deliver. He's delivered things that no other president has said. Does that make him a good person? Not necessarily so. It makes him an effective president, but that doesn't mean you're a good person. I don't know enough about any of these presidents to characterize them as a good person or a bad person. They're all flawed. Even Jimmy Carter, as nondescript as he was, what did he say? He had in his heart, I just went blank. Even him admitted about his flaws. We'll be right back. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. Stay with us.
ARK Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure video game set in a lethal yet vibrant future Earth. Play as a raider, where you will settle into a fractured underground settlement, hoping to build a new home and legacy for yourself. In order to thrive, you must return to the surface, where lethal ARK machines roam unchecked and the motives of other raiders are dangerously unclear. But if you are fearless enough, who knows what you might find? Pre-order now for PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and PC. Available on October 30, rated T for teen.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, folks. Jay Cicero, president and CEO of the Greater New Orleans Sports Foundation, joins us. Jay, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Newell. How you doing?
Doing great. There's so many wonderful things that you guys are responsible for hosting here in the city, and we've got a lot headed our way. Tell us about it.
Well, there's a number of things that we're working on, we're really celebrating. The first one is that we're having our annual honors, Sports Foundation honors celebration on the floor of the Superdome. And we are inducting Dennis Lauscha, the president of the Hornets and the Saints. And I'm being inducted also into the Sports Foundation Hall of Fame. So the leadership of our organization, as well as the Saints and Pelicans are being recognized for our contributions to the sports of New Orleans. And so that Sports Foundation Honors Luncheon is on the floor of the Superdome on Thursday, November 6th. And we're also celebrating the year in events. Super Bowl 59, of course, which saw $1.25 billion economic impact. UFC 318, which was a tremendous success. This past summer, as well as the U.S. Gymnastics National Championships held in the Smoothie King Center this past summer. So we're pretty excited about this event. You guys have broadcast from our event before, and you kind of recognize the level of production that goes into it. It's a really, really great time and a great event for the business community to attend.
Yeah, for those of you not familiar with it, it is a well-produced event. You're on the floor of the Superdome, which is a unique place to be and to sit and look around. I really enjoyed broadcasting live from there for one of your events, and well-deserved honorees. Obviously, Jay, you've been right in the mix of a lot of sporting events that have been headed this way over a long period of time and continue to do so. And obviously Dennis Lauscha, with the impact that both the Pelicans and the Saints have made on our local economy here. And they're having a little bit of a tough year this year, but that's a discussion for another day.
They are, but it's not for a lack of trying. Let's put it like that.
Yeah, no doubt about that.
I'm sure their best foot forward. That's for sure.
I'm sure they're frustrated, like everyone's frustrated, but they keep plugging away and going after it. And they're still filling the dome. I mean, you know, at 1-4 the other day, they had a lot of people. I mean, so, you know, it was a testament to this community's love of both of their sports franchises. And it's something their efforts, obviously his in particular, should be recognized as well.
How lucky are we to have both an NBA team and an NFL team here, and to be owned by the same group and have a president of both teams be the same person. Pretty incredible that there is a person like that in our community. And Dennis Lauscha certainly is an outstanding citizen, as well as someone who cares very much about New Orleans and sports in New Orleans.
Especially in a market our size, and you know better than most how difficult a market of our size can be when we're hosting these big events.
It really is. The challenge for us continues to be to remain competitive with other cities around the country that have many, many more Fortune 500 companies in their metropolitan areas and even more in their states, from Los Angeles to Chicago to Houston, Dallas, Phoenix. You know, now Nashville's coming on with a new stadium, Miami, Atlanta. You just go across the country and we compete with the largest cities in this great country, with very little, private revenue to be able to match the offers that they are able to put on the table. And so remaining competitive is certainly one of the biggest, of our goals as a sports foundation to remain in that space.
Yep. And as crazy as it may seem, one of the most popular events that may be headed our way, the banana headed here, the Savannah Bananas. when I saw the announcement, I was like, finally, I've been hearing so much about this event, and it's finally coming our way. 2 days, March 14th, March 15th of 2026, inside the Caesars Superdome. Tell us about it.
Yeah, the interest in banana ball, as they call it, has been incredible to see how it skyrocketed, especially last year. And, you know, these games are going to be the tickets for these games are going to be a hot commodity. And the Bananas tour around the country. They, you know, used to play in minor league stadiums. They moved up to major league stadiums, and now they're doing football stadiums around the country. And certainly coming here on March 14th and 15th at the Caesars Superdome is going to be a big plus and a lot of fun. You know, throws me back to a little bit of my years back with the general manager of the Zephyrs way back when in 1993 and 94 out at UNO. Minor league baseball certainly never hit the popularity or the ability to entertain like the Savannah Bananas do. And so you have to hand it to them and what they've done to really increase the popularity of their specific entertainment.
It's almost like the gymnastics version of baseball, right? I mean, some of the stunts that these guys pull, it's amazing that y'all don't have to have ambulances lined up on the side of the field. It is absolutely crazy.
I'm sure their triage area underneath the stadiums and around the stadiums is pretty busy. But what they do and their level of entertainment, doing flips to catch balls and having guys walk on stilts and being a pitcher, you know, that's incredible to watch. And it's going to be so much fun for the families here. Come March. We're excited about that.
Jay, I have to tell you, I heard about it. I didn't know about it. So I pulled it up on the internet and I'm watching a video and I'm like, what the hell? It was like, you know, I just wasn't paying attention. It was just kind of noise. And then now, you know, I'm watching the videos every week because it's that entertaining.
It really is. I mean, there's a possibility of selling out 2 days in a row, 60,000 seats to come see these guys play and entertain, and it's really very family oriented, a lot of fun. They have all their tickets on sale, and actually you got to sign up to register for a lottery.
I did.
To get tickets. That's how popular it is. And it's at,
I did. If you could put me at the front of the line, that I would appreciate that.
I wish I could put myself at the front of the lottery. It's amazing how popular they are, and they've really grown into something so much fun that it's really exciting.
And you only have a few more days because registration closes on October 31st of 2025, so you want to get on that list. It doesn't guarantee that you're going to get a ticket, but names are randomly selected, right, from this lottery pool. I mean, even the way you get tickets to this event is as crazy as the game itself.
It goes to show you how popular they actually are. Most of the time, events come and they're doing everything they can do to sell tickets. in the market, and they're so popular they have to have a lottery and choose who's able to lucky enough to be able to purchase tickets. And standard ticket prices start at about $40, and they actually do meet and greets with fans, and that those tickets starts at $125. So it's all inclusive of all their fees and taxes and everything. So bananaball.com/tickets to get on that list before October 31st.
Before October 31st, so don't wait around. It's the 26th. I mean, we're just blowing through this month. The WWE Money in the Bank is headed to New Orleans. Tell us about that.
Yeah, originally announced for August 29th. That event has been moved now to September 6th. We announced that today. Money in the Bank features WWE's biggest superstars as they battle to earn a briefcase containing a contract for a championship match at a time and place of their choosing, anytime within the next year. So it's kind of a unique way that WWE has created to get their superstars battling against each other. And of course, it's huge entertainment there, and it's just incredible that they have chosen New Orleans for this. But you know, we have a long relationship with WWE, and Money in the Bank's coming to September 6, 2026, to the Smoothie King Center.
They really do love New Orleans, don't they? They talk about it all the time.
They do, and yeah, we had to move WrestleMania this year or this coming year. And we're still working on trying to get that back to New Orleans for a future date. But, you know, they've said they really want to bring as many events as possible to the city. We had an incredible UFC event this past summer with them. So TKO owns WWE and UFC and a number of other entities with events, PBR, professional bull riders. And, you know, they've got huge events underneath their umbrella. They've started to work with boxing. They had a huge boxing event in Las Vegas last month in September. And, they sold 60-something thousand tickets to that event there. So, you know, they are one of the largest groups that we work with that own events. And certainly having WWE and Money in the Bank come here next September is going to be exciting.
No doubt. And if you want some pre-sale opportunities, you can visit wwe.com/MITB-2026. MITB for Money in the Bank. New Orleans Bowl coming back on Tuesday, December 23rd at 4:30 p.m. This is something that y'all have been in, I think, from the very beginning, right? This was your idea of the creation of the New Orleans Bowl, and it will be broadcast nationally on ESPN.
As it always has been, and this will be our 25th annual New Orleans Bowl, believe it or not. We started it in 2001 when the Sun Belt Conference created a Division I football conference within their membership and needed a place for their champion to go. So we stepped up and created the annual New Orleans Bowl, and it annually pits the Sun Belt Conference versus Conference USA this year, again, December 23rd at 4:30. So it's a little bit later than we usually have it. It's about a week later than we usually have it, a couple days before Christmas. So school will be out, which is great. And we usually have that event and try and have as many kids as possible attend, youth groups and kids. And a lot of times they'll go on the field for the national anthem and things like that. And we try and make it, like you said, for the honors luncheon, you know, being on the field of the Superdome, being on the floor of the Superdome is a pretty special outing for anyone. I still get excited going down the floor of the Superdome every time I do. And to have some kids who never get a chance to do that, or some youth groups come and stand on the Superdome and sing the national anthem and be a part of that ceremony, It's pretty special.
Absolutely. We got to get to a break. Jay Cicero, President, CEO, Greater New Orleans Sports Foundation, thank you so much for joining us. But let me just say, you guys are working hard on the bid on the 2028 CFP National Championship, along with the All-State Sugar Bowl Committee. Best of luck in that endeavor, because that is a huge event as well.
It's already been committed. It's already been committed yep. and announced.
Oh, it's committed.
We worked side by side.
I missed that.
Bowl. They led the bid, and we supported them, but they did a great job with it. It's been committed for 2020.
Oh, wait, I did know that. That's right. Got too many facts in my day-to-day, Jay. Congratulations on that. On that initiative and that effort, for sure. Thank you so much for joining us, and have a great week.
Thank you, Newell. Appreciate it. Bye-bye.
We'll be right back, folks.
ARK Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure video game set in a lethal yet vibrant future Earth. Play as a raider, where you will settle into a fractured underground settlement, hoping to build a new home and legacy for yourself. In order to thrive, you must return to the surface, where lethal ARK machines roam unchecked and the motives of other raiders are dangerously unclear. But if you are fearless enough, who knows what you might find? Pre-order now for PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and PC. Available on October 30, rated T for Teen.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcast.
Scoot joins us. What do we have coming up, Scoot?
Well, people are licking toads in Arizona. We'll talk about that. Apparently, you can get high doing that, but I don't know if the high is worth it. We'll talk about some details of the Epstein files, and if you work for the city, you might not get paid.
Scoot's headed your way, folks. Stay tuned. Hope you enjoyed today's show. Have a great Wednesday evening. We'll see you tomorrow.
ARK Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure video game set in a lethal yet vibrant future Earth. Play as a raider, where you will settle into a fractured underground settlement, hoping to build a new home and legacy for yourself. In order to thrive, you must return to the surface, where lethal ARK machines roam unchecked and the motives of other raiders are dangerously unclear. But if you are fearless enough, who knows what you might find? Pre-order now for PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and PC. Available on October 30, rated T for Teen.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, Hey, everyone. I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow, it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.